19th Psalm and verse 57. We'll read that in just a moment. I want to thank you for being here this evening. What better place to be than here assembled with the saints to worship God, to make the most of the opportunity to worship Him, to sing songs of praise unto Him, to study from His Word, and to encourage one another. And I want you to know that I am encouraged by your presence here this evening, and I know I'm not alone. We encourage one another by being here tonight. And there are so many brethren who there's nowhere else that they would be on a Sunday evening than assembled with the saints. And there'd have to be something pretty severe indeed to keep them from being here. And that's not something that they do simply out of a sense of duty, though they do feel their duty to do that. But it's somewhere that they want to be. And that is a great encouragement to see so many brethren who want to be here this evening. There are some who are visiting with us tonight. We want you to know how welcome you are, that you are our honored guests. We want to invite you back at every opportunity that you have. If you have any questions at all about anything that we do, anything that we say here tonight, please don't hesitate to ask. And we will strive, as always, to give you an answer from the Bible. What is a resolution? What does it mean to resolve to do something, like we just sang about a moment ago? We're entering that time of the year where people make their New Year's resolutions. They make resolutions. They decide that they're going to do something in the new year, that they're going to make some change. Maybe it's eating better. Maybe it's exercising more. But they make a resolution. Well, at least that's what they call it. Too often, it seems, with the New Year's resolutions, they soon go by the wayside, and within a few months, we're back to the same old routine, back doing the same thing that we did before. That's not really a resolution if we decide we're going to do something and then slowly turn away from it. For the most part, New Year's resolutions are really more like New Year's intentions, New Year's desires. They're things that you want to do, but perhaps you're not really as committed or convicted about those things as you would be about something that you were resolved to do. When we resolve to do something, it's something that's firm, something that's solid, something that we're going to do, and something that we won't be stopped in doing. When I say I am resolved to do something, that's something that I'm going to go through with. It's something that I've decided and nothing's going to stop me. Yet too often we as Christians seem to have too many desires and intentions and not enough resolutions about what we're going to do in our service to Christ. When we say that we are resolved in our service to Christ, that we make a resolution to serve Him, that means that we're convicted in doing that. We're committed to do that. We've made up our mind that that's the way it's going to be, and with God's help, that's what's going to happen, no matter what. And so this evening, we're going to talk about what it means to be resolved for a little bit. How do we resolve to do something as Christians, and why we should resolve to do something? First of all, what it means to resolve to do something, to say that I am resolved. Well, true resolve on our part does not wait. One of the biggest problems, I think, with New Year's resolutions is that we have to wait to the new year to make those. We wait all through the holiday season. Perhaps we've made a resolution that we're going to lose some weight. And so all through the holiday season, we binge eat and get as much as we can before we hit that New Year's resolution. And we wait until the new year to make that resolution, whatever it is. And if in the course of the year we forget or we go by the wayside on that resolution and we quit it, well, there's always next year. And so we wait to the next year to make the resolution again. Well, if we truly resolve to do something, we won't wait till the new year. We won't wait at all. We'll do that right then. If we resolve to do something, we want to make the most of our time, not wait in doing that. How many times in the Bible are we told that we don't have very much time? We're told in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 16 to redeem the time because the days are evil. We're told that our life is like a vapor, that it's like a flower, that it's like the grass of the field. We're told time and time again that we don't need to wait because we don't have the time. And so when we resolve to do something as Christians, specifically when we resolve to do something spiritually to improve our Christian life, we need to get to doing it right then. That's what we see with the psalmist here in Psalm 119. In this psalm that talks all about God's word, about God's law, and the keeping of that law, and our attitude toward that law, we see the psalmist say in verse 57 beginning, "You are my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep your words." So there's the desire, there's the intent. This is what I've said I'm going to do. "I entreated your favor with my whole heart. Be merciful to me according to your word. I thought about my ways and turned my feet to your testimonies." So they've decided that this is what they're going to do, that they're going to follow the Lord. In verse 60, "I made haste and did not delay to keep your commandments." So we see here when the psalmist made the resolve that they were going to follow the Lord, that he was going to keep the Lord's commandments. It says that "I made haste. I did not delay to keep your commandments." And so it must be with us. When we resolve to do something, when we decide that this is the way it's going to be in following Christ, we need to get about doing it right then. So true resolve does not wait. Moreover, true resolve is more than just a desire. It's more than just the intent. It requires action on our part. Too often with our New Year's resolutions, we have desire without action. Perhaps we want to lose weight, but we don't change our eating habits. Perhaps we want to get more sleep, but we keep the same routine and end up going to the bed at the same time. We have a desire. We want to do this. But we don't want to do it enough for it to actually lead to action. If we're truly resolved to do something, however, it leads us to act. And we are compelled to act because of how strong our feelings are and how intent we are at achieving our goal. We see with biblical love, we are required to act. John tells us to love in deed and in truth. We see with biblical faith, we are required to act. James talks about how faith without works is dead. And Hebrews talks about all of these heroes of faith who acted because of their faith. And so if love requires us to act and faith requires us to act, so too this resolve that we have as Christians requires action on our part as well. It is fulfilling a commitment that we have made to ourselves and to God. The song that we sang just a moment ago, "I Am Resolved." If you'll look in number 325. It says at the first of every verse, "I am resolved." Well, I am resolved to do what? It says, "I am resolved no longer to linger. I am resolved to go to the Savior, leaving my sin in strife. I am resolved to follow the Savior, faithful and true each day. Heed what He saith, do what He willeth, He is the living way. I am resolved to enter the kingdom, leaving the paths of sin." We see here that this writer of this song talks about our feelings and being resolved to do something. But right after he says that we are resolved to do it, it tells the action that we are resolved to do. Being resolved requires us to act upon our intent, to act upon the desires that we have. And as we talked about a moment ago, it requires us to act right then. As the chorus says, "I will hasten to Him, hasten so glad and free." We have intentions, we have desires that we act upon, and we act upon right then if we are resolved to do something. But also, true resolve is not easily dismissed, deterred, distracted, or forgotten. With New Year's resolutions, we get distracted with those things, don't we? We do well until maybe there's a busy week at work, or we get sick, or maybe we go on a trip and get out of our routine. And then we get distracted until we ultimately perhaps forget even what our resolution was, forget that we even made the resolution. It cannot be that way with us spiritually. In order for us to resolve to do something, it has to be something that is too important to be overshadowed by distractions. Too important to us for us to get distracted by the things of this world. And so if we make a resolution in our service to Christ, and we don't keep that resolution, that just shows that it's not really important to us. Not really truly important to us. Because true resolution means that we won't be distracted, that we won't be deterred. Yes, maybe as Paul talks about, we will stumble and fall. Those things that we don't want to do, those things we end up doing, and the things that we don't want to, that we want to do, well, we don't do those things that he talks about in that tongue twister passage. But we see with Paul, and it has to be the same way with us, that he kept trying, that he wasn't deterred in doing what he needed to do. That he did indeed press on toward the goal, as we're going to talk about here in just a moment. With our spiritual resolutions, we can't become distracted. We have to be willing to give it the precedence. We have to make it a priority. Basically, we have to put these things first before the other things in our life. That's what we see over there in Hebrews chapter 12, if you'll turn over there. In Hebrews chapter 12, just after we see all of these great witnesses of faith who by faith did all of these things, and we're familiar with the first couple of verses here in Hebrews chapter 12, it says, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." So we're told that we're supposed to lay aside every weight. We're supposed to lay aside the sin which so easily ensnares us. And the reason that we're able to do that is because we have a focus on the goal. We have a focus on Christ, what he was willing to do, and ultimately, for the joy that was set before him and the joy that's set before us, because of a focus on heaven, we can't become distracted. We cannot forget what our resolve is. We can lay aside the weight. We can lay aside the things that distract us. And we can lay aside the temptation of sin because we have a desire to reach the goal. That's what we see in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12. In Philippians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul speaks of this same idea, once again using this metaphor of a race that he uses so often. He says, "Not that I have already attained or have already perfected." He hasn't reached the goal yet. He isn't perfect. "But I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do." Here's his focus. Here's the thing that he has always pointed toward. Here's the thing that keeps him from getting distracted by the other things in his life. This one thing he focuses on. Verse 13, "Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." We see that he forgets those things which are behind and he presses forward to those things which are ahead. He's pressing forward toward the goal of heaven. And by keeping his mind, keeping his focus on that goal, by having that amazing focus that the Apostle Paul had of having this one thing that he does and pressing forward toward that goal, he is able to eliminate the distractions that are around him. As he talks about in Ephesians, he's able to run in such a way as to win the race. And the only way you run to win the race is to have your focus on winning the race. To have your focus on the goal. So too for us, we need to have a focus on the goal so that we aren't distracted. So that we don't forget what our resolve is. It's only then that we have true resolve. The fourth thing that we see is that true resolve does whatever it takes. With our physical resolutions, whether they're New Year's resolutions or otherwise, many times We reach a point where we are called to do more than we're willing to do. When it gets too tough for the ultimate goal that we're trying to attain. And at which point we quit. But if we resolve to do something, and if we truly have this resolve, we will do whatever it takes to obtain our goal. That's what true resolve is. That no matter what else comes about from this, no matter what else comes in my way, no matter what roadblocks stand between me and the goal, I am resolved to get there, no matter what. That's what we see here in Mark chapter 9, in dealing with our lives as Christians. If we are resolved to do something, then we are willing to do whatever it takes in order to do that. In Mark chapter 9, beginning in verse 43, Jesus shows the extreme to which we should resolve to do things, specifically in this case, to keep ourselves unspotted from sin. In verse 43, he says, "And if your hand makes you sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed than having two hands go to hell, into the fire which shall never be quenched, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. And if your foot makes you sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire which shall never be quenched, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. And if your eye makes you sin, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into the fire of hell, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched." Now certainly I don't think that the Lord is calling us to literally take a poker and poke out our eye or anything like that. But he's showing the extreme to which we should be willing to go in order to serve him, in order to make it to heaven. It shows us that if we have the resolve to make it to heaven, to do what God would have us to do, then we're willing to do whatever it takes in order to do that. And if something comes between us and our Lord, then we are willing to eliminate that. Whether that's work, whether that's school, whether that's whatever it might be, we need to be willing to give those things up so that we might have something that is truly greater. If we are willing to do whatever it takes, then that shows that we have true resolve. And then finally, true resolve is what Christ demands from us. Look in Luke chapter 14 and verse 25. Luke chapter 14, beginning in verse 25, these multitudes are going with Jesus, and he says to them in verse 26, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going to make war against another king, does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple." What Jesus is telling us and telling these multitudes here is that you need to count the cost before you commit to follow me. You need to be willing to take it through all the way. You need to be willing to resolve to follow me. We need to make sure that we're willing to do whatever it is that Christ wants us to do in order to serve him, in order to have a relationship with him. And what we need to ask is, have I counted the cost? Am I willing to forsake all in order to follow Christ? Or do I just intend to follow Christ? Do I just desire to to follow Christ. But I am not willing to do whatever it takes in order to follow Him. What we need to do is resolve to grow more like Christ. We need to have this resolve. Too often, I fear, we just have a lackadaisical desire to be Christians. We have some desire to follow Christ. Yes, we would like to have a relationship with Him. We would like to do better. We would like to get out of sin on some level. We would like to be a better Christian. We would like to read and study our Bible more. And maybe we take it a step further. Maybe we intend to do those things. Those are things that we plan on doing. What we need to do, brethren, is resolve to do those things. That I am going to do those things and nothing's going to stop me from doing those things. We need to resolve to do better spiritually. We need to resolve to get over the sins of the flesh and then do it. We need to resolve to read our Bible more and begin that very night. We need to resolve to pray more and begin praying more right then. We need to resolve to help others, to be a better example, to have a more godly mind, to have a positive attitude, to be content, or whatever else it might be. We need to have resolve in doing these things. We need to have the attitude that I am, with God's help, going to do this. And I know that the Lord is not going to place something before me that I am unable to do, a temptation that I am not able to overcome. But at some point, brethren, we have to make up our minds that we're going to do it. And nothing is going to stand in our way from doing it. And the only time that can happen, it's when we make our relationship with Christ more important than anything else. And when we reach that point, then we will have true resolve. And we can say, as we said in this song, as we sung just a moment ago, I am resolved to enter the kingdom, leaving the paths of sins. Friends may oppose me, foes may beset me, still will I enter in. No matter what roadblock is in my path, I'm going to get to heaven because that's the most important thing. We can do it, brethren. Not by our own power, certainly, but with the power God supplies. But just saying that God supplies the power does not let us off the hook and saying, well, I can't do anything about it. We have to decide that God is important enough to us that we will place Him first. That we are resolved to do whatever it takes to enter that kingdom. The song takes on a little more significance when you think about it in that way. That I am resolved to do whatever it is that Christ would have me to do. I am resolved to put Him first. We need to make up our minds, brethren. We need to do whatever it takes, starting right now, and not be distracted by the things around us. We need to resolve to follow Christ because that is what Christ demands of us. And frankly, that's what Christ deserves for what He was willing to do for us in coming and dying upon that cross of Calvary. If you're not yet a Christian this evening, there's a resolution that you need to make. You need to resolve to do something. And that means you need to act. And you can act right now. You need to resolve to have a relationship with Christ. To do whatever it takes to have that relationship with Christ. And that means putting aside the ideas you might have as to how you think you need to live your life. The ideas you have about how you think you need to get to heaven. And simply go back to God's Word. What He says about how you need to live and how you can make it to heaven. You've heard that word this evening. Won't you believe it?